could he really know what it's like to be spit on? To have his beard plucked? To be abused and beaten? For what? For being an innocent man? For doing all the good that he did? Yeah. What sin, what purpose did... And sometimes we're accused of things that are... we're accused wrongly for, aren't we? Yeah. I'm like, whoa, where's the justice in that? That ain't fair. But Jesus felt those same type of pains, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so he said, you know what? But my creation needs to know that I really do know what it feels like. So he steps out of heaven again, robes himself in flesh, and becomes that man, Jesus Christ. And he knows what it's like to be a baby, to be a toddler, and all those things, like I already said, all the way through. He understands the dynamic. See, God is so perfect in his plan. He doesn't go outside of what he has already established. God is not a hypocrite. God isn't going to ask you to do something that he himself would not do. And that's why Jesus was even baptized. Why? Even though he was sinless, he said, I'm going to be your greatest example. I'm going to show you this is how it's done. And they went down to the river, and he was baptized in the river. So he's baptized, and the scripture said that they saw the Spirit descending from heaven like as a dove and lighting upon him. All of this is connection. God does not go outside of the realm of what he designed. Although he could have. But to that, many would say, well, that's not fair. That's not right. No, God is perfect in his plan. And he said, I'm going to be born just like you. I'm going to experience everything just like you, so that I can say and you can know that when you go through a trial, I've already been. I've already experienced that. And you can make it. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be hurt. You don't have to have any of those feelings, because I've already been there. And what did he say? I destroyed the power of the devil. I made all of the effects of sin null and void.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So again, I apologize. Pull it together. Amen. The writer of Hebrews is saying that God became human flesh and blood through that birthing process of the man Christ Jesus. God Almighty of the Old Testament not seen. God Almighty of the New Testament seen in flesh and in blood. So that he could extend his holiness. That's why he did that. He came down and he robes himself in flesh so he could extend his holiness to us. Or rather, can I say it like this? He wanted to extend the antibodies against sin and death to us. I can't get the antibodies. I can't give them the vaccination. I can't give it to them unless I go through the same process. And they go through the same process. Now, because Jesus was fully God and fully man, that holiness of God was passed through us by water baptism. By water and by spirit. By breath. It is absolutely astounding to me and amazing that Almighty God did not and would not step outside of the framework of what he had already created. If you skip down or just go to verse number 16, there in the same chapter of Hebrews chapter number 2, it said, For verily he, and that's speaking of Jesus, took not on him the nature of angels. Look there. You see that? Took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. What it was saying is he took on the nature of man.
Yes.
Flesh and blood.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Man, I hope y'all getting as excited about this as I am right now. I feel like I'm about to blow up. Verse 17 said, wherefore in all things it behooved him. What does that word behoove means? It means made under the same obligation. Wherefore, in all things, he was made under the same obligation to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now, what does that translate there? It really says, in things pertaining to himself.
Bless the name of Jesus.
So it didn't separate Jesus and God. It still has them connected as one, even in this scripture. So we read it that he now has become, or might be, made the merciful and faithful high priest in the things that pertain unto himself, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He said, I am going to bring you back into communication with myself. And he has to do it through blood and water. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. Look there. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor. What does that mean? Succor means to bring aid and relief to them that are tempted. So through this birthing process that all God Almighty goes through, he does it so that you and I can get the same antibodies and have the same ability that when we are tempted, the antibodies refuse or reject the disease of sin, the bacteria of sin, the virus of death on us, the antibodies, because we've been baptized in Jesus' name. We've taken on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've had this supernatural rebirth.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Become victorious are given to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Just as the mother will pass on the protection from the disease to the children through her blood, through that birthing process, so has Jesus passed on the power to resist disease and sin and temptation and evil influence through the blood. That's why we get excited when we say, thank God for the blood. Amen. Or when we sing the song, there is power. There is power in the blood. There is wonder working power in the blood. Oh, that's why we get excited when we talk about Jesus and what he's done for us. Because there's nothing that can keep me from sin. There's nothing that can keep me from the bacteria of my carnal nature like the antibodies of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So when God becomes flesh, mankind inherits the antibodies of Almighty God. Mankind inherits the antibodies of Almighty God. The power that is in the blood of Jesus comes to us through that birthing process. If you'll go quickly with me, oh my, time.
Come on.
All right, that's all right.
Keep on going.
Man, time. Colossians chapter number 1. Go there quickly. I'll try to hurry, but oh, there's so much good stuff. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12, said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, I understand, but again, when you look at that at face value, I have a multitude of abilities. I am my children's father. And I hold a certain capacity of authority as the father of my children. But I also am a son, and I only hold so much authority as being a son because I have a father.
Right.
But I still am the same person. I am working in this realm of being a son, and this realm of being a father, and in this realm of being a husband. And when I'm working with my tool belt on and I got a hammer in my hand, I'm a carpenter. But did I change who I am? No, while I'm swinging a hammer, I'm a carpenter, but my name is still Derek. When I'm over here and I'm hugging and kissing on my wife, I'm a husband, but my name is still Derek Newman. When I'm over here and I'm talking to my mom and dad and they address me as son and they ask me certain things as their son, I'm son, but I'm still Derek Newman. And when my child calls and says, "Hey, Daddy, would you buy this for me? Hey, Daddy, would you help me for this?"
Right.
I'm still all this. I just am operating in different capacities. And so understand that that's what this scripture is saying. In the capacity of a father, this was taking place. In the capacity of a son, this was taking place. But it's all. He said, "I and my father." Don't forget that. Jesus said, "I and my father are
one."
One. And so we go on. In verse 14, in whom, it's not in them, in whom is singular.
Yes.
It's not in them, it's in whom we have redemption. Who do we have redemption through?
Jesus.
Because it says through his blood. We know that Jesus was the one who shed his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God. Whoa, there you go. Did you catch it?
Yep.
Jesus is the image of the invisible God. There it is in your Bible right there. So don't put God the Father over here and the Son over here. No, the image of Jesus Christ is who God is. You don't see God, but you see him as the image in the form of flesh and blood, Jesus Christ. Somebody help. For by him, the scripture said, were all things created. Well, who created the earth?
God.
The scripture, we can say God created everything, right? Because in the beginning, God created. But this scripture right there just said that Jesus created it.
Right.
It was talking about Jesus, right? So, again, is there some confusion? No. It's God that was created. The invisible God has now been made manifest in Jesus. So it's no big deal for Jesus said, "I created."
That's right.
You're just looking at the image of who I was in the Old Testament. Up there, the invisible. The invisible Almighty God. You're just now looking at the image. This is what I look like. And that's why he said when he created you and I, he created you and I just like we are today. Two arms, two legs, a head. That's why he said he wasn't created like the angels.
Right.
And we got a description of one of the angels. One of the angels, one in particular, the cherubims, have six wings. Yeah. And they're big. They got all kinds of different stuff that we don't have. Huh? So he said, I created man in my own image. That's what he did.
Yeah.
He said, that's what I look like. That's my image. You may not be able to see me physically, but that's what I am. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the word.
Bless
God. So you see that there in your own Bible. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, get this, were created by him. Notice the singularity again. By him and for him. And he... Get that, it's singular again. And he is before all things. Well, who's before all things? God. God is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Then verse 18 it says, and he He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence or dominion or all power or all authority. Okay? There's only one that's got all authority. There's only one that's got all authority. It pleased the Father, look here, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. It pleased him that in him all the fullness should dwell. And that's why we can say that Jesus can be anything and everything that you need.
Right.
He can be your counselor. He can be your peace. He can be your strong and mighty tower. He can be your fortress. But he can also be the sword that decimates the enemy. He can be whatever you need. But he still is God Almighty. What do you need him to be today? God, I need you to be my lawyer. I got a situation that I can't deal with. I need you to be my God. I need you. Oh, God, I'm sick in my body. I need you to be my doctor. I need you to be my physician. I need you to be my healer. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. I can just see it.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Remember that day,
Jesus,
when that old nasty serpent started lying to you, Eve, started lying to you, Adam. And you guys that had given in, and there was a separation. But ever since that separation, I've been looking for a way to get back to you. I've been looking for ways to have communion with you like I did in the garden. When I would come in and we would talk one with another. But sin separated us. And now I'm making a way of escape through blood, through water, through a baptism of a rebirth. So now you'll have the antibodies where sin used to reign and dwell, where bacteria was infecting every asset of every avenue of your life. Now you got some antibodies. You got some antibodies to say, oh no, that ain't going to live here in this temple. Oh no, I'm not going to live and act like that. I got some antibodies. When I was born again in the name of Jesus. By myself, I say, whether they be things in the earth or in things in heaven, he's doing it for one person, purpose, and that's to reconcile everything unto himself. I'm telling you, the plan is, folks, is to reconcile. Did you notice how I said everything in earth and in heaven? He wants to reconcile and bring everything back into perfect harmony. That's why he said, in order to have this eternal life, and we know that we've called it the place called heaven, but that's where the lion will once again lay with the lamb. Because what's he doing? He's reconciling everything. He's putting it all back together to its original state. I want you to walk by the river of life. I want you to drink from the river of life. I want you to eat from the tree of life. I want you to enjoy everything as I intended it to be.
Amen.
I'm sure today that there are some of us that there's some places on this planet right now that you'd like to go see.
Oh, yeah.
There's some wonders of the world, and maybe you want to go to the highest peak. Maybe you go, well, you know, I'm too old, or I got this, or I got that, or I ain't got enough money for this, or but there's some, oh, I'd love to go to Mount Everest, though. I'm going to tell you, God's going to set it all in stage and in place to reconcile everything back together in perfect harmony with Him.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. God held nothing back when it came to the blood. It says that in Him was all the fullness that dwelt there. Only God can forgive sin. Yet it was through the blood of Jesus that sins were forgiven. Do you see that? That was the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, you're blaspheming because only God can forgive sins. And Jesus is like, hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's me. I'm doing this. Huh? I got it together here. I know what I'm talking about. That's why I am saying, rise up and walk. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's why I can. Oh God. That's why I can say that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're saying I'm being blasphemous. No, you don't have a revelation who I am. You see, I step out of heaven and I put on some flesh and I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm going to show you how to love one another.
Amen.
I'm going to show you how to care for one another. I'm going to show you how I want people to be healed. I'm going to show you this is what I want you to do. I want you to lay hands on the sick that they recover. I am showing you how to get it done.
Right.
Question is, are we doing it? Do we really realize the antibodies that are in our system? Do we really realize the power that is in our system? We so easily give into our flesh. We so easily give into sin. We so easily give in to our carnal nature. And it's because we're not dependent. I've been inoculated.
Right.
I've been vaccinated. I've got the antibodies to defeat because I've been born again of the water and the Spirit. I have the same power through Jesus Christ that I no longer have to live a life of sin.
Right.
Only God could create life, right?
Yeah.
But the scripture also said it was through the blood of Jesus that our life is saved. You see, it's synonymous. It's one. All things in earth and in heaven are available to us through the blood of Jesus. And how might we acquire the power of the blood? I'll tell you, it's by taking on the name in baptism. For it was those men that thought that they were drunk in that upper room. But one scripture stands out. Acts chapter 2 and verse 28 said, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Something was being declared at that moment. That even though I have done wrong, even though I have messed up, the ways of life are now being preached to me. That I no longer have to die. That I no longer have to live in sin. You know, some of us don't feel like we can live above sin. I'm telling you, that's a bill of goods that the devil has sold you.
That's right.
And furthermore, he doesn't have any power to enforce what he says.
Right.
Y'all didn't get that.
That's right.
He tells you you're a loser. And God says, whoa, not by my blood. There's no such loss in you.
Right.
But you buy into being a loser and allowing that to happen in your mind because you're not taking the authority or using the antibodies that God has given you to defeat him and say, no, I'm not a loser. I'm not a loser. I'm victorious. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done through me. I've been sanctified. which cleanses us from our sins. And it is through the application of this blood, through water baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that it is applied to our lives. Once we're covered in His blood, we can invoke that power by calling on His name anytime, anywhere, for anything.
Yes.
That's a privilege you have.
Yes, sir.
That's a privilege you have.
Thank you, Jesus.
No. Hallelujah.
When a woman is about to give birth, you ladies can concur. Some of you men, you don't know the experience by no means. But it is fact that when a woman is about to give birth, one of the signs of her getting close to being delivered is her water breaks. That action alone usually sets off a series of other reactions. Like, we gotta get to the hospital now! Yeah. And they grab the bag and they run out the door and they get in the car and dude is running down the road way faster than the speed limit says. Because you know it's time for delivery. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Amen.
Y'all like an old pious, like you. Y'all end up having to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, many of you are. Most of you are here. Are parents?
Right.
And so you know that this is true. There's very few that aren't parents in here that know that this is true. And men, when they get to the hospital, they get you all settled up, and they go, "Okay, start breathing." No, that's too fast. You're going to hyperventilate. Go a little bit slower. Get your rhythm down.
Right. Come on.
Maybe you didn't go through some of the stuff I went through, but I went through.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
sir. Many of you tell that I've got my wife's hand. I'm holding her hand. And I said, "No, baby, slow down and breathe." Shut up! No, do it like that. Shut up! Leave me alone. Okay. Go ahead. You want to
I got one more.
I have been told that some of those women say, I hate you for this. And then after the baby's delivered, it's like, "Oh, come here, I'm so sorry." Yeah, it's crazy what's going on at that time. But nevertheless, all that happens, the woman gets there, and she's about ready to be delivered of that child, and she's having these contractions, and she finally delivers that baby. Out comes for some more blood and more water, and the doctor has that baby, and if it ain't breathing, he just goes...
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he goes... and takes its very... first breath of life. This is, again, where God doesn't go outside of the realm of His creation.
Right.
Okay? And He uses all the same principles of creation in a rebirth or in a spiritual birth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah.
And so, a child's life is brought about by water, followed by...